Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. Nehemiah, chapter number 1. Let me just try to share a few thoughts with you here tonight. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, and talks about, in the beginning of it, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah. Close enough. And it came to pass in this month, Chislu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of the brethren, came, and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. Now notice what he's asking about. He's asking about what's the state of the people there that's left in Jerusalem. And he's concerned about that. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keep a covenant and mercy for them that love him, observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open. Thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandment, the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were to you cast out into the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, or bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, by thy strong hand. I like that verse, don't you? He said, these are thy servants, thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of the servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name now to help us for a few moments. Just say what we need to say. And I pray the Holy Spirit would so illuminate our minds, touch our hearts. I pray saturate us with thy power. Help us, Lord, tonight to do what you want us to do in this service. I pray for everybody that's present. You know every heart, every individual. You know how to speak to all of us together. And I pray you'd challenge us, help us, and encourage. We pray, God, let us tonight see what we need to see. Help us to handle the word of God as you'd have us to do so. Magnify yourself. Get glory in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I guess if I tried to title this, I'd probably title it What Must Precede Jubilee or Revival, however you want to put it. But I think sometimes that we take for granted, but when we're having Jubilee, that everything's going to fall in place and there's going to be great power, great things happen. But let me say to you and remind me and you and all of us tonight that Jubilee doesn't just happen. It doesn't just cause we come together and invite some preachers in and try to get things ready and work hard for toward that. Does not mean that it's just going to happen. But what we really look for is a work of God. We can have a crowd, we can have emotions, we can have all of that, but I want to see a real work of God deep down inside, that will change our lives and the lives of other men that will be coming in and women, and change the lives of this church and other churches, that we may do more for the glory of God. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 1, "Oh, that thou wouldest rent the heavens and come down." Is that not my desire and your desire? That God would rent the heavens and come down. I mean, we're talking about his presence come down. We know God is with us, but we want his presence so wonderfully manifested, the power of it, that we'd be so aware of what's happening. Now, here in the book of Nehemiah, now 60 years earlier than when this group went back, there was about 50,000 of them went back. During that time, the rebuilding of the temple, and we find Prophet Haggai and Zechariah preaching to them and helping them and encouraging them about that temple and building of it. But now here Nehemiah is concerned about something else. And let me say, number one, we need to recognize there is a need. If we don't recognize there's a need, we'll never do anything about the need. And so we can look around, and if we're, and I don't, when I say a need, let me say this. I thank God for everything he has done recently, is doing, and in the church and around us and for us. And Brother Ben testified about two being saved, and others have been out preaching, people getting saved, and in the prison, people getting saved. And there have been a few saved around here, and there have been some joining the church. I praise God for all of that. I don't minimize that in one bit. One soul is worth everything that we'll ever do in all of our lifetime. If we keep one person out of hell, it's worth everything that we ever do. Amen. It's worth everything we'll ever give. It's worth everything in any way that you put it. But I'm not minimizing that, but I am saying that we need to see the need. If we're not careful, we get used to the sin around us. We get used to things being like they are. We get accustomed to it, and it doesn't bother us like it one time did bother us. And I pray that God will help me with that as well as you. Notice verse number 2. When these men came from Jerusalem, and certain men of Judah said, look in the middle part of that verse, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. He said, I asked them. He's concerned enough about their welfare back over there. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer, and he was well thought of by the king from all indications here, and probably lived a life of pretty well ease and had it made. He was in a comfort zone that he could have stayed in and everything been fine and dandy. He did not have to do what he's fixing to do here. But he asked about. The fact is, those men didn't even volunteer to tell him how they's doing back there. He had to ask them, how are they doing over there? And we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing? And then we need to ask, how's the church doing? How's our country doing? How's our churches across America doing? How are we doing about being soul winners? How are we doing about being that God had? How are we doing about our missions? How are we doing? In whatever way that we need to ask the question, we need to ask the question, how are we doing? And so we're not careful. We'll be too much like the world to care much about what's happening in the world. And so we need to let God help us with this. And he asked how they're doing. He was concerned about their welfare over there. That's a good mission message. We need to be concerned about their welfare over there and other places where the gospel needs to be preached, as well as right here at home. And he was concerned about them. I want you to look at the dishonor. Look in verse number 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. He said the walls are broken up. The gates are burned with fire. And said that the reproach back there in Jerusalem, to the Jews, also it was a reproach to the living God. And Nehemiah saw it that way. Let me say this to you. I thought about that song, The Wall of Prayer, that some of them used to sing. I hadn't heard it for a while, but asking for a wall, build a wall of prayer around us. We need that wall of prayer. Brother Richard White told me a while ago about his father-in-law. He's always telling me, and he sends word to me, that he's praying for me. And he's on his way to me. He said, tell your preacher I'm praying for him tonight. That means a whole lot. I'd rather have your prayer than anything I can think of. I'd rather know that I have a wall of prayer around me than anything else in the world. Amen. Because when people pray for you, that's the best help you'll ever get anywhere, anytime, is the prayers of others. And I thank you for that, and I thank him for that. I praise God for everybody that pray. But I thought about how the walls of prayer have been torn down, and they got holes in them. The gates have been burned, and all around the church are being separated for God and living for God, having it in our hearts to pray and having it in our hearts to read the Word of God and to pray like, well, these things need to be in repair. And we need to recognize that. If we don't recognize the need, I need to pray more myself. I need to study more. I need to myself be more applied. I need myself to be stirred up more. I need more of a touch of God. Amen. I'm not where I want to be with God. Amen. Whose fault's that? Pray, my fault. It's not anybody else's fault. My fault. But I'm saying this, as we pray one for another, it can sure help that other person move on closer unto God. Brother Gary Tension is director of the missions. You know what he needs more than he needs anything else? I'm glad God supplied the need, and the truck was under warrant. Praise God. Thank God for that. I'm glad that God supplied the need. Thank God for every need supplied. I'm glad Brother Rosenberg got better. I'm glad for all the praise that was made for the souls of God. But we, and that's great. That's what we're after. But we need prayer of each other. We need to see the need. And I pray that between now, I'll say that later. But anyway, we need to see this. So here's the dishonor. And they were like that. Enemy could just walk in. If we're not careful, we'll let the walls be in disrepair, the gates burned, and the enemy just walk in. And a lot could be said about that, but we won't take time to do that tonight. But I pray that God would help us in seeing that. I'm reminded of Isaiah 37, is it? Well, anyway, wherever it is, Hezekiah, when he was the Babylonian king had sent to him a word that he'd heard he'd been sick. And you remember that story? He said, I heard you've been sick. And so Hezekiah, he got all excited about that. That king cared enough to send that envoy over there and see about him. You know what he did, though? He opened up his whole house. He showed him everything that he had. He showed him all the riches, all the treasures. He showed him all of his armor. And he showed him everything that he had in the kingdom. And Isaiah came to him and said, what has this man seen? These men, why did he come and what have you shown him? He said, I showed him all that I had. I opened up myself, showed him all everything. I'm putting that in my words now. And he said, I showed him everything. And Isaiah said, there'll come a day that king will come back and he'll take your things from you and your sons will go into captivity and be there. And that's exactly what happened. If we open up ourselves to the world, you can rest assured the world will come in. If we open up ourselves to sin, sin will come in. If we let down and open the gates and burn the gates and walls get in disarray, that enemy will come in. And so we need to see that. Now look at verse number 4. Here's response to the need. I want you to see this. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now I want you to get this in verse number 4. He said, when I heard about that city, Jerusalem, my people, the Jewish people over there, said, I sat down. He took time and just sat down and started thinking about it. He didn't just let it come in and go out. I'm afraid sometimes I'm guilty of it. I hear preaching or I'm reading the Word of God. I see it or I hear it. It comes in, stays there for a few minutes, then it's gone and doesn't affect my life. But this affected Nehemiah so much. I mean, he didn't just ask about the place. When he heard about it, he responded to it by taking time to sit down and really meditate and think about what was happening back in Jerusalem. I can see him now sitting there thinking, Jerusalem, the walls, picturing the walls in his mind broken up, picturing the gates burned, picturing the enemy just coming in, picturing the temple again being destroyed, picturing all the things that could happen. And there he thought about it, but then when he thought about it, notice what he said, he wept. He wept. We're living in a generation that does very little weeping over what the condition of our people. We do little weeping over people going to hell. We do little, amen, I'm guilty. I'm guilty and you guilty. We all are. And we need to recognize that fact. We're guilty of not weeping over sinners like we should. Not weeping over people. Not weeping over the situation like it is. Not weeping over sin like it is. And I pray God give me more tears in 2011 over people that's lost without God and people that's going to hell. And over people that's out of the will of God. People that's missing God's best. People that's messed up. I want to have that compassionate heart that I need to have for them. Amen. Hey, listen, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good if we just let it God have his way, get such a burden for souls, ask God to burden our hearts until we wept. We want to see them weep to the altar, but we need to weep over them. To see them weep to the altar. And so he wept and mourned certain days. And that mourned, I won't take time to look it up right now, but in Romans chapter 8, talks about the Holy Spirit taking the groanings of our heart and making intercession according to the will of God. And so when we're in prayer and we're weeping over some situation, the Holy Ghost takes that and intercedes yonder to the throne of grace and according to the will of God for his glory. And praise God, that thrills my soul. That's getting me ready for a jubilee. Amen. Knowing my God can do that for me and for you. So we need to have that concern. And mourn certain days and fasted. And there's another thing, we know about feasting, but little about fasting. And I plead guilty. And so he said, he got so concerned about it, sat down, thought about it, wept about it. No, he wept about it, then began to meditate on it and mourned. And they couldn't even put it in words, he just moaned. And then said, I fasted and prayed. And I fasted and prayed. He got down to business with God about this thing. He got some concerned about that food wasn't interested in him. It wasn't anything else interested in him except the fact that here was a situation in Jerusalem that was breaking his heart. He got tore up about it. He responded in that way. He responded, how are we going to respond to the need about Jubilee? How are we going to respond to the need of men coming in here? That they're disappointed and they're hurt. These preachers have come in ready to quit. Every missionary is ready to give up and throw in the towel. Sunday night, Brother Jimmy Cox shared with us about praying for him, and we prayed for him over here. And Brother Jimmy, we're still praying for you and asking God to help you. Hey, there's a man that God has used and needs our prayers, and we can build a wall of prayer around him and let God do something for him, and God guide his life in the right direction that he wants him to go. I say hallelujah. God can do that. But they'll be multiplied Jimmy Coxes here in Jubilee, the Lord willing. There'll be multiplied people that come in that's going through a hard time, having something wrong in their life. And then listen, if you don't love God, there's something wrong in your life. If you're not putting God first, there's something wrong in your life. And sometimes, though, it's not you, that individual, just the situation they're in. And they've been hurt and tromped on and seem like thrown aside. But our God's able to help. But if we don't have a burden about them and care about them and pray like we all pray and ask God to help them. By the way, let me plug this in right here. There is fasting and prayer. If you read the first verse of chapter 1 of Nehemiah and the first verse of chapter 2 of Nehemiah, when he did make his request to the king, you'll find it was 4 months difference. He didn't just think about it for a day or two and pray for a day or two. He 4 months before he went before the king, asked God. He did some fasting and praying. He got down to business and took. And when God said it was the right time, he went. Amen. That's what we need now. I know we only got a week and a half till Jubilee is scheduled here, but I want us to really get down to business about it. And we don't have the time he had, but I don't know that we have a week and a half. Jesus may come before that time, but may God help us, amen, to get this and get it down and do what God said. Somebody, and this is a quote, I don't know where I got it. It's just a quote I wrote down from somewhere. If you can do without revival, you will. That's a good quote right there. If you can do without revival, you will. What he's saying is, when we get desperate enough that say we cannot live, we cannot do without revival. We cannot do without God really doing something in Jubilee. We cannot stand it any longer unless God really shows up in Jubilee. I believe God will answer that. I believe God will honor that. But if we can get by with it and we think, well, we'll just have good services and we'll be satisfied if we just get a crowd here, if we just have some good singing, if we just get some people to come and have a little emotional thing, and we'll be satisfied with that. If that's what we're satisfied with, that's exactly what we'll get. But oh, if we're looking for God to show up, if we really want God to move in our lives, if we want God to touch our sin, show up on us, our lives, and show us where we need to repent and get right, God will do that too. God will help our church. God will help other churches, other preachers, other things. Now, let me show you this, and I'll bring it to a close. I'm trying to bring it to that place. But look in verse number 5. Here's a request that he's asking them to remember. And he said, I beseech thee. He's requesting now. He saw the need. He's responded to the need. Now he's requesting for that need to be met. He said, you keep mercy and so forth. I won't take time to read that again. I read it a while ago. But he said, now look at verse 6. Now let thine ear be attentive. Mayest hear the prayer of thy servant. I pray for thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants. Now I want you to get what he says next. He says, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we. He didn't say which they, but which we. Said, we're confessing the sins of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. He didn't come and say, now, Lord, if we have sinned, if we have been wrong, he said, we have been wrong. We have sinned. I've sinned. And said, we have sinned. And then said, we've dealt corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments, nor thy statutes, and nor thy commandments, thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word of thy commandments. He said, if we transgress, he said, you'd scatter us. But look in verse 9. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they will you cast into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather you from thence. He said, now remember, Lord, I'm asking to help us. We have sinned. I'm asking you to forgive us and cleanse us. I'm asking for that. We have done it. You said you scatter us and we're scattered. That's what he was saying. But you said if we would repent and turn back and we would do thy commandments, he said you'd bring us back and gather us back to the land. And said, you said you'd do that. And I say hallelujah. What God said he'd do, he'd do. Amen. But he started out confessing sin first. He started out getting right with God first. Started out praying. Started out thinking about saw the need. But he got right with God. And then he prayed for the God to do what he said he would do. He studied the word of God enough to know what God had said he'd do. And so he was acting on the word of God, taking a promise from the word and applying that promise now. And God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. I say amen. We say that verse over and over and over and over. But it's still true. If we will confess and forsake, if we, hey, by the way, he talked about doing the commandments. I realize we're saved by grace through faith. Because do don't have anything to do with our being saved. But it has a whole lot of our do about being right with God and having fellowship with Jesus. Amen. The word of God is still truth. And God wants us to obey the word of God and be an obedient son to him. If we're looking for Jubilee, we're going to have to do that. And stay in obedience to him. He said, told God, listen, God's hearing his prayer. He said, you've chosen, set your name there. Verse number 9. Look at verse number 10. Now these are thy servants, thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, by thy strong hand. He's just talking about how good God been to Israel. Saved and brought them out of Egypt, bonded, put them in the land of Canaan, sent them there. And then they sinned and went in bondage, he said. But you said, if we repent, you'd bring us back. Lord, I beseech thee. And he started again praying about himself and the people that would fear him. When he said, and prosper, he's not talking about getting material things. He's talking about the thing he's about to do, that you help me with it. He said, I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man. This man, what man was he? He said, for he was the king's cupbearer. In chapter 2, he goes before the king. And notice, I want you to notice verse number 4 of chapter 2. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven. Well, he was talking to the king. But he'd been in such prayer. He had been in such contact with God that when he talked to the king and the king says, what's your request? He could pray to God immediately in his mind and tell him what he wanted. He'd already asked God to prosper, give him grace in the eyes of that man, that king that he's about to go before. Hallelujah. I'd like to have that kind of walk with God. That you can pray while you talk. Hallelujah. While you're telling, when somebody's asking you something, you can be in prayer about it and God answer your prayer. You've already made a request to God for it. Hey, I want us to request to God, give us a jubilee. Not just meeting, but a real jubilee. Real jubilee was a time when they set the captives free. It was a time when the land went back to the people. It was a time when things got back set right. Hallelujah. That's what we need. The jubilee is get things set back right. Get forgiveness and all that stuff. Let God help us. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nehemiah had a real concern. Nehemiah got down to business. Let's stand to our feet, please. Bow our heads. Father, I pray right now, just help us. Just ask you, Lord, to forgive us, then help us in jubilee, in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you want to come and just pray, God, forgive me of my sin, help me in jubilee. You just come quickly. I'm not going to prolong it. She's going to play for a few minutes. I'm going to turn around to my pew and pray for a few minutes. If you need to come and pray, you come. If you need some help from somebody, you get some of us our attention. Somebody will help you. If you need to get right with God, it'd be a good time to do so. God loves you. God cares enough that he loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose for you. Jesus wants to save you. If you'll come, Jesus will help you. You say, preacher, how can I get out of the mess I'm in? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. 8 people here tonight that are praying for you, asking God to help you. Why don't you come?